is a Truth for Today recording. Oscar M. Baker is speaking. And this is about the 22nd of August, 1986. The subject, the character of the mystery. The character of the mystery. Now, I'm warning you right here that if you don't have your Bible at hand, you better stop your machine and get your Bible. For I'm starting a little new message. And I'm sure that if you don't follow this message, that you're not going to get too much out of the recordings. I know you can listen sometimes in one ear and hear half of it. But if you participate, that makes all the difference in the world. That's the reason why I want you to have your Bible handy. Remember that the Bereans were more noble than those at Thessalonica because they opened the book and searched daily to see what Paul was preaching was true. And there's no way that you can tell whether I am teaching the truth unless you check with the Word. And it's a good idea if you check right along as I go. Be ready to read in unison with me the Scriptures. I'm sure they'll do you good. In fact, I think it'll do you so much good that if you don't do it, you might just as well stop the tape, rewind it, and send it back. I'm aware that our teaching methods have been very, very poor, and I'm trying to improve. I've been teaching, starting in school since 1917, and even before that, I was teaching in Sunday school. Over all those years, I have learned probably more than many of my pupils have. The teacher does. And so that's the reason why I'm passing this on to you. And so be ready to read along with this. If not, turn back and start all over again. Now my subject is the character of the mystery. The character of the mystery. And I'm talking about the mystery that Paul was given a special dispensation to preach to us Gentiles, not to Jews. And the character will describe from many angles just what that mystery is. And that's what we need to know. There's no going to the heavenly places unless one knows about the mystery and believes it. There's no shortcuts. There are no ways around. The way is given very plainly in the Word, and you can take it or you can leave it. I'm so glad that all of the mail that I've gotten in the last 38 years at least, that there are many, many who have given a testimony of knowing what the mystery is and rejoicing. There's no rejoicing like knowing what God's plan for us is today, our hope and our life. Now, the first item that I have, and get your Bible ready, the first item I have is apostleship. And you'll find that in Ephesians 3:1-1. Ephesians 1:1. I'll read it right out loud from the Bible with me. If you have to stop to catch time to place, that's all right. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Well, that's our first item. You can go through the rest of the prison epistles, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and see if you can find this title in all of them or in part of them. That is for a future study for you. And so the character of the mystery is that it has a special apostleship by one named Paul. It was never given out. It was never revealed to or from the 12 apostles. That was not their bailiwick, as we say today. That was not their business. They were to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And the book of Acts and all of the epistles written during the time of Acts is only a continuation of what Jesus both began to do and to teach. We find that in the beginning of Acts. It tells us right there what the book is about. And don't try to add anything to it or take anything away from it. There's too much of this choosing today, like a smorgasbord or whatever you want to say. And you're going to end up in a short end if you just pick and choose what you like in the Bible and relegate the rest to something else. You do that at your own risk. All right, the second item is something about a term that is used in Ephesians, and used only in Ephesians, and used 5 times in Ephesians. I'll be ready to find these references. I'll try not to go too off the pace. Now, look in Ephesians at 1:3. Ephesians 1:3, and read it with me, right out loud, not in your mind, but read it out loud so you can hear it. All right, ready? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All right, there's a character of the mystery that has to do with heavenly places. Has nothing to do with the earth program. Has nothing to do with the heavens above us, the abode of Satan and his fallen angels. But it has to do with a place, a location, far beyond the stars, where Christ sits, and where God has always been. Now, you can think that over. But at least, if you read it out loud, it will impinge itself on your mind like it would it never in any other way. Now just go on to verse 20 in chapter 1 of Ephesians. You'll find the same term again. A work which he wrought in Christ, and he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. In the Greek, don't think that I'm trying to show to you a scholarship or anything like that. I don't have it. I'm glad that I haven't gotten into all of that and blinded me to the truth. I'm not a seminary graduate. I'm glad of it. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set at his own right hand, where? In heavenly places, which is far above all. That's what he says in the next verse. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now that gives you the second and third occurrences of this place which has, the mystery has parted. I'll turn over to chapter 2 and the 6th verse. Chapter 2, the 6th verse. Ready? Read together. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let that soak in. Now, of course, I'm not giving here all of that. We'll get to setting that verse a little bit better by taking verse 5, is it? Hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There are three steps. What a wonderful truth that is. Well, we have it occurring again in 3:10. Ephesians 3:10. I'll be ready to read together in unison. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. I'm trying to take you at a pace so that you can keep up along with it, having no trouble to read with it. And I pause a little bit that you may let that soak in a little bit. We're not in too big a hurry. We have time. And I'm just sure that if you will do this, as I say, that you will really get a blessing from it. There's nothing like reading the scriptures. Nothing will substitute for it. And all too often, when the scriptures are read, it just goes in one ear, and I don't know whether it gets to the other ear or not. Maybe it just goes out the top of the head. And so I say again, I'm trying to use advanced the teaching that will make true Bereans of it, people who will search the scriptures. All right, we had this reference in 3:10. We have another one in 6:12. Ephesians 6:12. All right, are we ready? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. High places is heavenly places, the same expression in the Greek. Now you may wonder why that the translators put that this way. Well, because they got it turned around. The Greek does not always have the same order in the sentence that we have. And so if I would read that verse to you in the right order and put heavenly places here, I think maybe you can see it. Now, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood in heavenly places, but, I can add there, we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, period. Does that help? Well, if it doesn't, go back over it. Just rewind a little bit and do it over again. Don't hesitate. All right, now. That gives us another angle. These verses I've just given you, another angle that carries to the mystic, that it has to do with heavenly places. And no dispensation or family on this earth has ever had to do with those heavenly places until we get to the end of Acts. And the earth's purpose is suspended, Israel divorced, and God starts a new purpose, which had been hidden from ages and generations, now revealed by his apostle Paul. If you can get that, understand it, it'll open up a great vista of truth to you, something you never dreamed of. But if you have been used to sticking to the Sermon on the Mount and the Jewish message in the Acts, and all its 14 epistles written during the Acts. You will have missed this. And many, many are missed. I've missed this. Because Satan blinds the eyes to the truth. Now, the third point is about being chosen. Israel were a chosen people. But they've been set aside. And God has another chosen people today. You'll find that in Ephesians 1:4. Ephesians 1:4. I'll be ready to read this in unison. Ready? Read. According as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation or overthrow of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Get the items. All the choosing, all of the blessings of song we have for Israel up to the end of Acts are from or since the foundation or overthrow of the world, katabole, meaning throwing down. You find that in Genesis 1:2. Don't forget that if you haven't ever looked at it. And read it. And it's in harmony with what we just said in the verses before. According is in harmony with. In harmony with the choosing of us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world or overthrow. That, here's a purpose. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, I'm taking time on this. I don't care how long it takes. So I can just get this to soak in. We're not going to hurt. There's great important truth. And our whole future is changed or charged or made up of this truth. Whether you accept it or whether you reject it. That all makes up and defines your future. I know it sounds too good to be true. That we at some time could be holy without blame. But that's what it says. So the part tells me, and I lay hold on that. And that'll be a glorious day when I can be accounted holy and without blame before him. And what? I'm not claiming it yet. I know this is for now. I know that's true. And potentially it is true. But on the other hand, I know my own shortcomings. And I know this cannot be personally experienced by me, except by faith, on this side of the grave. For as long as I live in this life, in the flesh, the old man is going to be there to trip me up at every chance that he can get. But I'm accounted. I'm accounted right now as being holy, without blame before him, loved. That is the wonder of the message. Can you believe that? Can you lay hold on that? Can you look back on your own life and what you've done and what you've believed and so on? Can you lay hold on that? That you are standing before God without blame, before him, without blame, and before him in love? I'm taking time. I want you to think. Mull it over. Now, another point. Ephesians 1:9-10. There is something that we run over a little bit too fast and don't pay attention to it. Have you got the place? Ephesians 1:9-10. All right, let's read. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, folks, there's another mouthful. We could just stop and spend a lot of time on these points. This is a character of the mystery. Another characteristic of it. That we should have such an experience as this. This means that the church, which is the things on earth, is to be under one head with the principalities, powers, mights, and dominions in the heavenly places. The angels who did not fall, and Satan did. And they have attained to the heavenly places. Where Satan would have attained, but he fell short. Never will see it. He aspired to it. He was going to set his throne above the throne of the Most High. He said, I will. 5 times. And he's failed in every point. Why? Because he was rebellious. He rebelled against God. He pulled a great number of the angels after him in his rebellion. And so, happened at that point, chapter 1, verse 2 of Genesis, the great overthrow. You can read in Ezekiel, and also in Isaiah, Ezekiel 37, Isaiah 14, I believe those are the scriptures, something about Satan's great power and empire and authority he had till he fell. And because of that, sin entered into God's universe. And then not only that, but when God refinished the earth to set it up perfect for the garden for Adam and Eve, Satan entered and even ruined that. He is the author of ruin, of sin, of rebellion, of anything that's ungodly. Satan is the author of. If you have any of that in you, it's Satan's work in you. And he can make you think that black is white. Look what he fooled Eve with. Just told her point blank that God was a liar. That she wouldn't surely die as God had said. And we have a lot of Satan's agents in the world today who are telling you the same thing. Telling you that man has an immortal soul, that he can't die, that God can't kill him. And yet under the law, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And Adam is created, living soul. Now folks, that is the business that Satan is in. Right there in Genesis 3, he started his lying business. He's been keeping at it ever since. And he's lying to you and to me and everybody else today. And he's getting his lie taught in the highest of religious schools. He's got it everywhere. Everywhere you look, you can find it. And you begin to wonder. And like Diogenes, maybe you light up your little lantern. And go out and see if you can find truth in them. That's the way it is. And what are we going to do about it? There's only one thing we can do. We go to God's Word and see who is going to destroy Satan, how, and why, and where, and when, and all of that. So that we might have this freedom we talked about here a while ago, that we should before God hold in without blame in love. That's the work of Christ. And it's been belittled. Satan said, oh, Christ is just another man. And all his work and so on didn't amount to anything. That's just water over the dam. Well, that's why he'll tell you. And he'll tell it to you through some of the most famous professors we have in religion today. So that's one reason why I want you to read this Bible. To be sure to read it with me in unison. That you may be able to comprehend the truth. It's awfully hard to break through this ice of unbelief. Maybe you'll realize it. If you haven't, you better be careful and learn where the danger is. And so this point that we've just taken here, number four, is the mystery of His will. Now, in 1:18, Ephesians 1:18, it's about what is His calling. And we're to make our calling sure. What is your calling? Well, now we have people following a calling and work worldly things. And one may be called to teach, and another to plow or farm, and others to do this and that and the other thing. But in Christian orders, in Christian associations, what is the hope of His calling? All right, be ready now to read together Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And that word saints means the heavenly places. It's used that way several times. And so there we are. We need the eyes of our understanding enlightened, opened up, or Satan will blind you to the truth. And you've got to get your eyes open. Otherwise, you're just like a little kitten that's never seen the light until his eyes are open. And you will never see the light of God's gospel for us today until your eyes are opened and you're enlightened by the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why I'm trying to get you to read these so the Holy Spirit can work in you. And you're not be just listening to my voice and being entertained by what I may be saying. Take this seriously. The hope of His calling. And there's the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the Holy of Holies, holy places. Well, that's Ton Hagion, the Holies. We have another item here, that was number 5. Number 6. Yes. In number 5, we have again to repeat that a little bit. It's on 1:18 again. Let's read it again. Alright, ready to go. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the Holy of Holies, holy places. Alright? We have in that verse the hope of His calling. We have also in that same verse the riches. The riches. Why? You want to get rich? Well, get in on this. Because here are riches that far beyond anything you'll ever find anywhere here on the earth. I don't care how many millionaires there may be, or multi-billionaires, or whatever you want to call them. There is nothing that compares to these riches in the Holy of Holies in the heavenly places. And yet, in Christendom today, we find this attitude, a blind beggar sitting on a bag of gold. Can you imagine it? Well, that's what a lot of us are doing. Praying to the Lord all the time to bless us and enrich us and so forth. And here we have it. We only believe. That's what it takes. But you know, Satan has spread his lies so wide that it's almost impossible for a human being to believe God. You read your Bible through and see. See what's happened down through the ages. The nations. Israel. The church today. Christendom. It's all there. And there's also a future in which there will be failure, even the millennium. And that will end up in one of the greatest holocausts that this world has ever seen. Well, I must hurry on. The seventh point is concerning a headship. The headship of Christ and in relation to his church. 1:22. Ephesians 1:22. All right, let's read. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. There you are. That's what the Father has done. He has given over all rule and authority, all things under his feet, and now has given him to be not only king of Israel, but to be head over all things in the church, which is his body. Can you grasp that? Can you believe it? Can you read it and believe it? So here he is presented as a head, not as king of Israel, but the head of the church, which is his body. That's another one of your characteristics of the mystery. All right. Ephesians 2:6. Ephesians 2:6. Ready to read? And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm taking especially the word sit. It comes from a word in the Greek from which we get the word cathedral. A throne is a cathedral. A cathedral is the place of the throne of the bishop in the Church of England. But here, we have been raised up together with Christ, made this to be enthroned with Christ in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Of course, that's just like a fairy tale, isn't it? It can't be true, or can it? Is God just talking here, getting Paul to write this for us? Is he just talking, or does he mean it? Is he in earnest, or not? You see, we've got to make up our minds. Well, look at Ephesians 2:13. He's talking here about those who at one time have been Gentiles. Gentiles in the church during Acts, grafted in to provoke Israel to jealousy. And now there's a change. Alright, read verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. These Gentiles are far off and past. When Israel was being offered the kingdom, they had been given, the Gentiles had been given up way back at the Tower of Babel, remember. And if you'll read Romans 1:18-32, you'll have a pretty good description of that. Remember that scripture, Romans 1:18-32. Jot that down. Refer to it later. So here is something, again, of the character of the mystery, that the members of the church, that's of the body of Christ, have been made nigh, even these Gentiles, been made nigh by the blood of Christ. For at one time they were aliens and foreigners from the commonwealth of Israel. Isn't that a glad message for today to Gentiles, believers? Well, we will go on and look at Ephesians 2:15. and to find something there interesting. All right, ready to read? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now, out of the context, of course, that's a little bit hard to understand. But we've been talking here in this chapter about Gentiles, and they had been strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, but now they've been made one. And so here we find that these Gentiles are not only made nigh in verse 13, that here in 15 there's a new creation. And out of the twain, of the two, the Jew and the Gentile, there is formed one new man, the body of Christ. So making peace between Jew and Gentile. And of course, peace with God too. Another wonderful thought. Well, we have another point here to consider, and I think we have time for another one or two. Point number 11. I haven't been giving you these points before, but you can figure that out. And Ephesians 2:19. And he's talking to these Gentiles. And so be ready to read verse 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. These who have been Gentiles, dogs, outcasts, been given up off the power of Abel. Now, since Israel saved them in divorce, they've been given this position through the grace of God and the blood of Christ. And so, the Gentiles no longer today are strangers and foreigners like they were from the Tower of Babel up until, well, we could say at least that Peter went to the house of Cornelius. If you want to say that, but really we can come to the end of Acts, because that was not too free, and it was only with Israel, not in heavenly places. And so, fellow citizens, we are with the saints in heavenly places, household of God. Well, isn't that nice to be taken into, made a part of the household, the family of God, in the heavenly places? What more could a person want? And what more can a person get? Is there anything higher than that that you can imagine? Well, we have here then being fellow citizens, a point number 11. Number 12, Ephesians 3:3. Ephesians 3:3. Are you ready to read? Alright, go ahead. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore, in few words. Alright, he's mentioning there the mystery. It tells us in the verse before that God made a special dispensation for Paul to make known this mystery to people, and especially to the Ephesians, as he says here, to you. And so, it was made known to Paul. There is no record, no hint in the Bible that God ever revealed this mystery to any of the prophets in the Old Testament or the 12 apostles in the New Testament, and did not reveal it until Israel failed, rejected, and were divorced at Acts 28:28. And then, this great mystery, hid from ages and generations, was known, made known to Paul. You see, he was outside of the 12. The 12 were apostles to the circumcision. Paul had a choosing then, one, not 12. The whole thing was entrusted to him to preach and to make known the dispensation of the mystery. I'm using the word dispensation, and folks, be careful with it. All too often, people imagine that a dispensation is a time period, and that isn't true. That isn't what the word means. The word means a household. And so when there's a dispensation, there's a special household. And somebody has some authority in that household. Joseph had authority in the household of Potiphar. And we can find other instances in the Bible, stewardship. And that's what the word dispensation means, stewardship. And this is a stewardship of the mystery. And the steward was Paul. And then he passes that down on to others. And gifts are given. Pastors, teachers, apostles, shepherds, or pastors, right. Ephesians 4:11. All right, I must hurry on here. In 3:10, yes, 3:10, we've had that verse before, but now we have another meaning for it. And ready to read with me? Verse 10, Ephesians 3, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church a manifold wisdom of God. And so here is news to the powers in the heavenly places. They have a good news too. And it's concerning this church, which is the body of Christ, made up of believers on the earth today. All right, we'll hurry on and make another one here and finish this up with a few. The purpose of the ages in 3:11. We just read number 10. That is being made known the principalities and powers. Now, read verse 11. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. My eternal has to do with the ages. And it's a purpose that God had before the ages began. Before the overthrow. He knew what was going to happen, and he made all this arrangement. And chose a church at that time. I don't know if he chose just individuals, he could have known it. But at least he had in mind a church that someday would go into the heavenly places and take the place of those angels who sailed to make it. Now, the last point, number 15, and that's Colossians 3:4. Colossians 3:4. Yes. Whereby, read with me now, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And we have also in Titus 2:13 about the manifestation. Now folks, that, I think, gives you a pretty good picture of the character of the mystery, what it's about. Now, if you haven't read these verses along with me, just do it all over again and read them out loud. Be sure that you know what you're about. Don't let your mind go off onto something else, as we so often do when we're listening. A man who is sitting in a church and listening to the drone of a preacher preaching a sermon, and his mind might be way over in Europe somewhere. How do I know? Well, I've done the same. I've done that thing myself. That's the reason I know. I know what people do. I know how hard it is to concentrate sometimes on the subject. Now, this is the end of this lesson.